You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, after the 10:30 news, we like to lighten things up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news. Today's Audio Sorbet question for you: what is your pocket pancake? No, it's not dirty. We're talking about snacks. Pat Murphy of the Brewers, his go-to snack is a pocket pancake, which now they're selling at AmFam Field. It's a pancake with a chicken tender wrapped in it. So we're going to talk, what is your go-to snack? What is your pocket pancake? That's our Audio Sorbet question coming up after the 10:30 news. And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Chug This edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now we're delighted to be joined by State Senator Kelda Royce, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, is here with us. Good morning, Senator. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
So happy to be with you, Jane.
I am delighted. We've wanted to talk about crypto on our show for a long time. And one of the reasons, Senator, that this has been bothering me for so long, I had a conversation with a stockbroker. This is months ago. And we were talking about crypto. And I said, the whole thing just makes me twitchy because it just seems like it is ripe for scams and to be abused and for people to get ripped off. And I said, there's just something about crypto that seems immoral to me. And what he said was, morality aside, this is a product that has who has people who want to buy it. So therefore, it's okay. We have a product people want to buy. Morality aside, concerns aside, let's just sell this. That did not make me feel better.
Well, yeah, I can certainly understand why not. And I think, you know, your instincts about crypto are not wrong. It is a product that has incredible potential to scam people, right? And to facilitate criminal activity.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I'm pretty libertarian about letting adults do the things that they want to do, as long as they're not harming others. And so if people want to, you know, buy lottery tickets or, you know, smoke cigarettes or,
right,
you know, buy crypto, what's it to me? If they want to invest in risky stocks, I think that's okay. But what is not okay is to see criminals using this as a way to just wipe out people's life savings and to say, we're going to allow this as a product category to be totally unregulated, aside from every single other way of transmitting money is regulated. And so that's kind of where I am. It's like, if you want to do it, that's fine. But we're going to make sure that we are putting some guardrails and some regulations around this so that people aren't especially vulnerable.
And I think it's important that folks understand that there are people already who have been wiped out by crypto.
Yes.
And they have lost everything.
These stories will break your heart. You know, because with the rise of these crypto kiosks, you might have seen them in a gas station or a diner somewhere as you're driving around Wisconsin. They've popped up like seemingly out of nowhere. And they are used by internet scammers to take people's money. And it's virtually untraceable. Once you put your money in there, it's gone. It's going to an anonymous wallet, to a scammer, to a fraudster, and you will never see that money again. And if you listen to the stories of victims, as I have, you realize just how dangerous these crypto kiosks can be for people who are vulnerable to fraud, which is all of us,
yep,
right? Any one of us,
yep,
could be caught up as a victim in these scams.
And this is not me defend. I know so little about crypto, I couldn't even defend it if I could. It is the regulation that people want to put in place on this form of payment is flies in the face directly of what is, quote, supposed to make it so great. There's no regulation. It's decentralized. All these great words that make it sound like freedom, but really what it is, it allows the really, really smart people who know this form of payment, who know computers, to go in and to do what they can do and really, as you said, kind of put us over a barrel, and that's it. There's no FDIC for crypto, as far as I know.
Correct. Yes, your money is not guaranteed. So you can think about it, it's like buying an incredibly risky stock, or even buying like a stock option or a future, right? Something that's even more separated from any asset that like bears value, right? So it's a stock market that's completely unmoored from any form of an asset like real estate or a company or a currency. So in that sense, you know, there are certainly investors who specialize in this kind of very high risk enterprise, and I think, you know, that's fine, but people need to know what they're getting into. The problem with these crypto kiosks is twofold. Number one, criminals use them to move money in an untraceable way. So if you are a drug dealer, if you are a trafficker,
launder money.
Right. You can take your ill-gotten gains and disappear them. And you know, there's really no way to catch it or for our government to get the money back. Now, and the other way is that it just makes it so much easier for scammers to target particularly vulnerable people. So what you hear a lot of are these catfishing scams, right? Where people pretend that they are in love with you. They target someone who is lonely, someone who is isolated, someone who may be vulnerable. They maybe lost their spouse. Their children live far away. They don't have a strong support system, right, where they're living. And so they're isolated and they're on the computer and someone, you know, approaches them and makes them think that they're in love. And then all of a sudden, oh, my sister has a surgery, yep, or I need money for this. Yep. And they are, you know, piece by piece giving their life savings away to a scammer. And when the time comes and they realize it's been a scam, there's just no recourse.
Yeah, it's gone.
And that is totally heartbreaking. That should never happen. But crypto kiosks make it really, really easy for the criminals.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking to State Senator Kelda Royce on Matt and Air on Air, and we are talking about legislation that they're putting a bill that you've put forward to help regulate the crypto kiosk specifically. Is that what this is?
Correct.
When I hear that, because there is a gas station, and I won't name it by name, but they're like they boast a Bitcoin ATM. Is that what it's like an ATM example where you can just pull money. I use money in air quotes because I feel like crypto is not real. So I don't know how you just go there and put in your PIN and say, all right, I got $20.
So you have a crypto wallet, though, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So what you do is you take your cash, your American dollars, and you put it in the machine and then it goes to a crypto wallet. And, you know, more often than not, that's wallet goes to the scammer. And then the money is immediately transferred out into a black hole where the criminals get it and you'll never see it again. And law enforcement can't trace it, right? So any other way that you might transmit money. So if you go to your local credit union, you write a check, you do a wire transfer, you do that, you use PayPal or Venmo. All of these are regulated under a pretty robust regime for money transmitters, because we want to be able to see where money is going, right? You want to have confidence that if you transfer $100 to your daughter's account, that she's going to get that $100.
Yeah.
Right? And if it doesn't show up, you need to know where it went. Right. So crypto kiosks are outside of that regulatory scheme. And that's one of the things that makes it so attractive to these criminals. So our legislation dovetails with very, very recently reduced or promulgated regulations from the Department of Financial Institutions that does regulate kiosks as money transmitters. We also have some additional provisions in the law that the department was not able to do without statutory changes, like know your customer requirements. So no more of this kind of anonymity where criminals can just come take the money and we have no way to trace it. a daily limit. So you can only transact $1,000 a day.
Yep.
Because, you know, you just, these people that have lost $12,000, $20,000, $50,000 in an instant, it breaks your heart. People cannot afford that. A way to, for people to actually get their money back within 30 days, as long as they report to law enforcement that they were the victim of a scam or a fraud and report it to the crypto kiosk operator, then the operator is responsible for refunding that money. So that puts a little bit of the onus on the operators who are making money hand over fist to actually say, we're going to make sure that these are not used for scams because we're going to be on the hook if people are losing money.
Where are these kiosks coming from? Who is behind putting these kiosks into these gas stations? Do we know?
Well, I mean, this is a big, big business, right? We see even the president sees huge opportunities to scam billions of dollars using crypto. And so some of the, you know, big players that are very, very well funded by billionaire financiers are putting these all over because they see them as kind of the Wild West in a way to make a huge amount of money on the transactions. And that's another thing that we regulate in the bill. We say you can charge a fee for the transaction, but number one, you have to disclose it in advance, right? You don't get to take the money and then tell people later, oh.
Gee, what a crazy idea.
$100 fee. So, and it limits the fees. It says it can be up to 3% of the transaction or $5, whichever is greater. And that should be more than enough for these crypto kiosk operators to make a good profit, but for people to have, you know, not these predatory rates.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go stand next to some of these kiosks and say, just give it to me. You've got just as much likelihood to make money by giving it to give it to Jane Toe. It's Jane Toe.
The Bank of Jane.
Yes. Give it to the Bank of Jane and maybe I'll get it back to you and maybe
start
not.
Start your own meme coin,
yeah,
Jane.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Don't give it. Senator, please don't give her any ideas. I don't have time to like explain what meme coins are to her. I don't. I just. Well, and the thing is, the way you're explaining everything here, for me, and I'm really not passing judgment on people who use crypto. I understand it's here to stay. It's a form of payment. It's a thing. I don't want to be old man yelling at the clouds. But when I hear people talking about it, it's the same as if you just say to me, Greg, do you want to go to the casino? I'd be like, no, I like my money. It's great in my pocket or in my bank account. I wouldn't put it. I'm not going to invest in any sort of crypto until I know, as you're trying to do right now, that there are some regulations out there that are, I don't know, protect me, because I know I'm not a billionaire, Senator. I know I don't have 15 boats, but I would love to have a little bit. I'd like to feel like our government says, hey, let's take care of these individuals. Let's, and that's what you're doing now.
Let's watch out for the little folks.
Yeah.
We're going to continue our conversation with State Senator Kelda Royce about crypto. Just send your money to Greg and me. We'll make sure it's just fine.
I'll just put it on my back shelf here. It's fine.
Fine. Regulations, schmegulations. We'll be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on today with Maggie Dawn. Starting at 4 o'clock, Maggie's going to have Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, mm-hmm. host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays. They're going to talk about the current cases and lawsuits. We're seeing lots of those in the headlines. And in the 5 o'clock hour, Maggie's going to be joined by Congresswoman Gwen Moore to talk about the redistricting issues in Texas, as well as the ongoing flood issues in southeastern Wisconsin. Right now, though, we are joined by State Senator Kelda Royce is our guest.
And earlier, State Senator, we were talking about this bill that you have co-authored that is looking to regulate crypto kiosks in Wisconsin specifically. It's good to know that people are out there looking out for the little guys. So the question I have for you with regard to this bill is, what is the support you're seeing from either side of the aisle, neither side of the aisle? Is this going to contain the word we all love, which is bipartisan in its support?
I tell you what, Greg, I am working hard on that because I really do believe that, you know, no matter where you live in Wisconsin, whether you're represented by somebody with a red shirt or a blue shirt, you deserve to be protected. And you deserve to have the freedom to explore emerging technologies without risking losing your savings. So I have had many conversations that are continuing with my Republican colleagues. I have certainly had some interest. I know that there are Republicans who are committed to doing something, and whether or not they want to go to where my bill is, or they have a different idea, I'm very open to working with Republicans. That's something I think has been a hallmark of my time in state government, right? I always am working across the aisle to build support for my legislation. Now, sometimes I don't get it, particularly when I'm working on things like rights or, expanding access to healthcare. But listen, you know, I'm going to do my best because I think that this is an important issue. Now, the problem is we've got Republicans in Washington, starting with the president, who are just hellbent on letting the crypto industry run roughshod over everyday people. That's a broader problem of sort of corruption of our political system. And, we're going to have to tackle that too. but for right now, I mean, this is an action that the state government can and must take to protect people and to stand with law enforcement, who are trying their best, but they are really not able to protect people.
Well, seriously. I understand that. On one side of the aisle, regulations are death and all regulations are bad and we can't have anything regulated because it kills freedom, whatever. But as you said, Senator, this is about protecting the little guy. How do you justify not protecting people? I don't know how you justify not looking out for your constituents and just letting this particular industry do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is where, you know, my legal nerdery comes in, because I kind of view this as a products liability lens. Like, this is about consumer protection. Now, if you sell a saw at Home Depot and the saw blade comes apart all the time and people are losing their fingers, you should be able to be sued for that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you should not be able to sell defective products and not face any consequences. And you look at predatory lending, right? These products that are essentially designed to fail and to trap people in a cycle of debt. Is there a need for short-term lending? Yes. A lot of people are struggling to make ends meet. I understand that. But should they be able to scam people and charge, you know, hundreds or thousands of percent interest rate on these loans? Absolutely not. And so I view this very much as preserving people's freedom to use crypto. If you're an investor and you want to experiment with crypto as part of a broader investment strategy, go at it. You know, people get to make risky investments.
Sure.
But what we shouldn't be doing is letting these crypto kiosk operators essentially make money off of criminal enterprises.
Well, and
that's what's happening without regulation.
And assume that they're going to do the right thing. I think that that's a dangerous assumption.
I would never assume that they would do the. My assumption is the bad thing. It's always the bad thing. I'm sorry to sound so dour, but like a crypto kiosk in my brain's like, oh, this is not here to help me at all. This is not here for my benefit 100%. This is here for some other guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I think that's the challenge, is we've got these kiosks before we really know what the use case is. And, you know, they have to sort of convince me that there's a good use case out there. But, they're happy to take money, whether it's good or for ill. Yeah. And I think that's the challenge, is like, you shouldn't be able to make money off of crimes.
What a statement!
I'm gonna put that on a pillow.
You heard it here first. Tough on financial crime.
You shouldn't be able to make money on crimes. I love it.
It's my new cross stitch.
I love it.
That I'll be working on.
Right.
State Senator Kelda Royce, thank you so very, very much for your time and helping explain this piece of legislation that we're working on. And again, if you have any money you don't know what to do with, just send it to Greg and me. We'll send you our crypto link at janesays@civicmedia.us.
I love it. Or send it to me. I always need more ice cream.
There you go.
And call. And if this is something that you're interested in supporting and you want to see your reps support this, call them and tell them to get on board.
Absolutely.
Get on board the Royce crypto bill.
There you go.
Thank you so much, State Senator Kelda Royce. Really appreciate your time. News is coming up next, and then audio sorbet. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in New Zealand on the app, on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers in action later on today. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. Mm-hmm. I understand they're playing some pretty darn good baseball lately.
They are 74-44. Not a single team has 70
smoking victories. Hot Brewers. You can listen to the game on terrestrial radio tonight starting at 6:05 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN, WCQM in Park Falls, and in Hayward on WBZH. Brewers hosting the Pirates. Our broadcast starts tonight at 6:05. And that leads us to today's audio sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we like to get away from the news, lighten things up.
Yeah.
Little cleansing for our brains.
Audio sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
There you go. I love it. That'll be on a shirt one day when we get our merch. Yes. Hold not one's breath for that. But anyway, what is your pocket pancake? Is today's audio sorbet question. This has a reason. Pat Murphy of the Milwaukee Brewers. It's his favorite snack. Warm, fluffy pancakes on the go. Pat Murphy apparently pulls pancakes out of his pocket, wrapped around a chicken tender, and that is his go-to snack. And now they're selling them at AmFam Field.
Pocket pancakes. They're tasty and portable.
And warm. Yeah. The Ball 4 Pocket Pack includes four pocket pancakes with your choice of maple syrup or strawberry compote dipping sauces.
That's what makes it expensive. When you put the word compote in there.
That just raises by $3.
It's like why pizzas now are flatbreads and are $10 more expensive.
Yeah, the Double Chicken and Pancakes Pocket Pack includes two chicken tenders, stuffed pancakes topped with chopped bacon, or a drizzle of maple syrup for $7.99. So we started talking about what is your go-to snack.
These are just street tacos, but dessert.
What is your go-to snack? 855-752-4842. What is your pocket pancake? You don't necessarily have to pull it out of your pocket. I wouldn't.
Can I tell you my buddy's
go-to? Yes.
Because it actually is it is located within the pocket as well.
Oh, good.
I've not been to a Brewers game in some time, but I'm pretty sure you still no longer can bring sealed food in, I'm sure. Because before COVID,
you used to be able to bring it like
peanuts or chips. As long as it was sealed in a bag, you could do that.
Right.
You didn't have to throw it out. And my friend would grill up brats, put them in a bun, and then throw them in a bag and then heat seal them and put them in his cargo pants shorts. His cargo shorts pocket.
Pocket brats.
Yes, exactly. I was at a game with him, and I go, I said, and he goes, Greg, are you hungry? I'm like, I eat. But then I'm thinking in my head, what do I want to spend a lot of money on for food? Because food at a ballpark is expensive.
It is.
And he goes, oh, no, I got you covered. And literally puts his hand into the pocket, pulls out, looks at me, and goes, pocket brat. And let me tell you something, Jane. A free brat at a Brewers game tastes amazing.
Can you, did you like sneak up to a stand and get stadium sauce to put on the pocket brat or no?
You darn right I did.
Of course he did.
Of course I did.
What is your pocket pancake? 855-752-4842. What is your go-to snack?
Yeah.
When you just want a little something, Andrew from Maine, listening on WAUK. Why have I never thought to keep dry pancakes in my pocket before? Excellent question. Andrew also says, I could wrap a harp string in a pancake and throw it in my pocket. Then I could have audio sorbet anytime. Gotta love that.
I'm not gonna lie. What's a harp string? Like an actual harp string? Or
harp string. He's saying he would have the music.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That we have for audio sorbet.
Andrew, sometimes I'm thinking about so many different things. I thought that harp string was like a snack.
A
like
something?
Like someone call like string cheese. That's what we call harp strings. And, you know, okay. I don't know. People,
sure, fine.
People say things.
We'll
I
go
just
around with it. We'll go
want
for
to imagine that Pat Murphy, the day that this happened, this has either been happening his entire life where his mother said, here's a pancake. Well, can you give it? Just put it in your pocket. It's fine. It's warm. Just eat it. Or he grabbed a pancake and someone said, do you want me to get you a plate? And he went, looked at him and said, why?
Why? Well, I guess my question is, does he wrap them at least in foil? Or is it just a pancake in the pocket?
From what I understand, from what I've seen,
it's just a pancake in the pocket.
Pancake in the pocket. Let's call it for what it is. Amazing.
That's not exactly what I would call it.
Well, you and I are different people. Okay,
non-sanitary.
I will use a different word, although equally, it's brave.
It is brave. It's unique.
Yeah.
It's unique.
Cal, do you have yourself a version of the pocket pancake, whether you're
particular
at home
go-to snack
or on the go?
Well, I'm just wondering if the lint adds anything to it.
The lint.
I don't know. I'm kind of temperamental when it comes to snacks. I don't really have
temperamental.
I don't really have a go-to. I get sick of things pretty quickly.
Okay.
And just switch like.
So you get on a roll for something and yeah. You have that for a couple weeks and you're done.
I like Goldfish for the most part. I like plain Fritos because I get sick of the flavored ones really quickly.
Real quick. I would agree with that.
So
and God only knows what's in those flavorings.
The devil.
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything that I put in my pocket.
So you don't have an unusual snack. You don't have a, because like when I was a kid, I used to take, I used to eat bologna sandwiches every day for school.
That's what you did on
a fancy day, bologna and cheese, and I would take.
But that was a slice of cheese, right? Was it cheese food, processed cheese food?
Oh, it was a yes, of course. Yes. Yeah. What. Did I grow up in luxury? I did not. And it was, so what I would do is I eventually, when I was at home, I would just, you know, jettison the bread portion. I would just take two slices of bologna, two slices of cheese, and like these pocket pancakes at the stadium,
curl it up
like a taco and just eat. And that was my snack.
I ate those
my entire childhood. I ate a lot of bologna. A lot of bologna.
And is it one of those things now where you're like, I cannot eat one more bologna sandwich?
No, I stopped eating them sometime in high school. So it's actually been a very long time since I've even bought it. So I'm sure if I decided to buy some now, it would be a bit of a nostalgia thing. But, you know, I definitely got my fill in the first 10 years of my schooling.
Audio sorbet today, we are talking about the brewer's Pat Murphy and his go-to snack. They call them pocket pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls a pancake out of his pocket, wrapped around a chicken tender.
Yeah.
And now they're selling them at AmFam Field. So what is your pocket pancake? What is your go-to snack? 855-752-4842, Calvin.
Yeah, I thought of one thing that I do make. My family has credited with me with inventing it. I'm certain I picked it up from somewhere. I just don't know where. I call it a pizza quesadilla.
Okay.
It's just a quesadilla, really, but the insides, instead of chicken and Mexican food toppings, it's just mozzarella, pepperoni, and pizza sauce. And it's pretty tasty.
You invented a pizzadilla.
Calvin's pizzadillas.
A calvadilla? No.
Oh, I like pizzadillas.
Pizzadilla?
I think there's a lot of potential there.
I don't put it in the, you know, chicken or the Mexican. It's just cheese. Every quesadilla I've ever had is just usually cheese. But hey, that's, I mean, my roommate used to do that all the time. He'd take or tortilla, chop up some brick cheese, throw that in there, put it in the microwave, and that was his sometimes his dinner.
What is your pocket pancake snack? 855-752-4842. You can call and or text. Carmella in Milwaukee listening on WAUK. Happy Tuesday. My pocket pancake is watermelon Jolly Ranchers. They bring up joyous childhood memories when they used to be a long, hard stick instead of the smaller wrapped candy. Not joyous is forgetting them in my pocket and trying to run them through the wash.
Yeah,
that wrapper will stay on that Jolly Rancher
forever.
That's like the adhesive we need. You know what I mean? You can't get that wrapper off once a Jolly Rancher has gotten a little warm.
No,
it's never leaving.
No, thank you. And I didn't realize that Jolly Ranchers used to be like a longer candy.
I always thought
it was that one size. Jolly Ranchers are good. I'll get down on Jolly Ranchers. But to me, a pocket pancake, that's got to be like a... Like now, we take just a piece of London broil, which is just, you know, a shaved meat.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Okay.
A piece
of roast beef or something?
Exactly. Unsalted roast beef. Thanks, London. And I wrap it around a piece of mozzarella.
Ooh.
And I just pop that as a snack. And it's perfect. It's got some protein, got some flavor. It's delicious. And it's small, so it just keeps you going. But that would be my... what I do as an adult now, that's my pocket pancake.
All right. Mine would be, I still love a piece of ham with cream cheese and a sweet pickle.
Sweet?
Yeah. I'll do both. I go both ways with pickles.
You heard it here first, folks.
I live crazy.
Yeah.
It can be dill. It can be sweet. But you called it what?
Redneck sushi. Redneck sushi.
Redneck sushi.
Yeah.
That is my pocket pancake. I would not keep that in my pocket. It's a little on the wet side. little dampish. A little on the dampish side.
Well, and that's the thing is Andrew from Maine also said if I was going to keep any food in my pocket, it would be jerky, carrot sticks, or celery sticks in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
And Jack from Merrimack, both of them listening to WAUK, pocket pancake, anything with dark chocolate, dark chocolate almonds, dark chocolate peanuts.
Yes.
Maybe you just like dark chocolate, Jack. Maybe that's...
I am totally with you on that, Jack. And my whole thing is it's good for me.
I'm doing it
for my health.
Yes, exactly. Trying to take the fall on me, not understanding your joke. It was not the mispiloting of that statement. It was me just letting it hit me in the face and not understanding.
Oh, now Casper checking in from Madison. Sweet pickles, that's an abomination.
It's a whole other audio sorbet. That would be an audio gripe, because sweet pickles, I believe, were invented by a guy who said, "Hey, I'm God. Here are pickles." And then you bite into it, like, these are sweet, and he pulls off his mask and it's Satan. It's a ruse. It's wrong. Sweet pickles are the worst.
All right, we're having pickle wars tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Show's all set for tomorrow.
That's all 2 hours.
Join us for pickle wars tomorrow on Matt and Air on Air. Pocket pancakes, whatever works.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever gets you that snack. That's what I say.
It seems to be working for Pat Murphy. It seems to be working for the Brewers. Let's all get on board with that.
And frankly, when you listen to Pat Murphy talk, he's the guy who has pocket pancakes. He's just a great guy. And you're never going to want them until he offers you one. Like, you want a pancake? Did you just pull that out of your pocket? Yeah. And it's Pat Murphy like, yeah, I'll totally take
one. I'll take one.
Oh, and I at least have Chris Casper on my side. Sweet pickles are offensive.
Okay, fine.
They make me feel, they're upsetting.
Obviously.
Because they are just, pickles are one of the greatest snacks ever.
Audio gripe tomorrow. It's all about pickles. Join us for that.
You're welcome.
When we return, we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Chug This edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sweet pickles are wonderful.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, we have baseball later on today on certain Civic Media stations. The game starts tonight, 6:05. Our broadcast, rather, starts at 6:05 as the crew hosts the Pirates. Listen on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM Park Falls, WBZH in Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. Brewers hosting the Pirates. Our broadcast starts at 6:05.
I just want to say it was so fun to go with you and Todd throughout Wisconsin. So now when I hear Park Falls, I think of Toby the dog.
I know.
I think of Mark at BCH.
In Hayward, just, yep.
It is. I'm sorry. Just taking a second here. I just love the fact that we have these great partners around the state who do amazing work, by the way. Don't just check out civicmedia.us. Check out these individual radio station websites that we have as well, because they do amazing work, yep, both with the news, coverage, social and local outreach. But just having that connective tissue now and knowing who is in those places,
yes,
makes me smile every time, because I also miss Toby the dog so much.
Well, and we just had such a good time, yeah, on that road trip. We really did. Thanks again to everybody, mm-hmm, who made that possible. We, yeah, have a really jam-packed show tomorrow. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Andra Watkins is going to join us, and I can't think of a more appropriate time to have her on. Andra grew up in a Christian nationalist household. Pete Hegseth, the head of our Defense Department,
yeah,
over the weekend, retweeted a comment from his pastor, who doesn't think women should be able to vote. They want to get rid of the 19th Amendment. That's Pete Hegseth's pastor. And he retweeted him over the weekend. I'm sure Andra will have some insight into, yeah, this push. There is a big Christian nationalist faction now within our government,
mm-hmm,
thanks to Project 2025.
Yeah.
So Andra will be joining us in the first hour tomorrow after the 9:30 news. Robert Pilot from, yes, Native Roots Radio, correct, is going to join us in hour number two to talk about the cuts to public broadcasting and what that is going to mean for a lot of our Native Americans.
And we're going to be working on getting some other individuals from that industry here too as well, because that is an important conversation that needs to keep happening. NPR and PBS, they're not going away, but their funding will be heavily undercut by the closure of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And we want people to understand the effect this will have, because it's a huge one.
It is.
We rely on public radio so much.
Absolutely. It is getting late. It's 10:55, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me, along with your money for crypto, at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from The Guardian that Calvin found. Adam Gabbert with the byline. The headline reads, meet the five-time beer mile world champion I knew I could chug from a young age. Corey Bellamore continues to dominate the Beer Mile World Classic, which involves running after chugging four drinks. Corey Bellamore doesn't have quite the same recognition as Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt, but over the last 5 years, this 30-year-old Canadian has put together a level of dominance in the world sport of the beer mile.
I'm so happy he's from Canada.
The beer mile involves downing four beers while running a mile really fast. He has won the Beer Mile World Classic, an international event, which brings together the best of the best at drinking beer while running a mile. He has won this for the past 5 years in a row, a staggering success.
He's the Joey Chestnut of beer drink running. Who's Joey Chestnut? He's the guy who gets money to stuff hot dogs in his face.
The rules of Beer Mile are simple. Athletes must drink a beer.
Beer Mile?
I'm just reading the article. Athletes must drink a beer, then run a lap of 400 meters. The competitors then drink another beer and so on until they finish the mile. The beer must be at least 12 ounces in volume and no less than 5% alcohol content.
What?
If you throw up, you have to run an extra lap.
I'm glad we turned frat sports into a
no, right.
into a thing.
Soon
here.
Beer pong will be an Olympic event.
Oh, Hey, beer pong enthusiasts, do not send your angry emails to me. Send them to Jane, because I know she just incensed you right now.
From a young age, and this is not beer related, says the winner. If I had to consume a bunch of liquid after running practice, I could finish the entire water bottle in a short period of time. Whatever it was, Gatorade or whatever, I could down it as quick as I needed to get it in. So I knew I could chug from a young age.
I just want to know what coach was looking at him going, you know, you're really terrible at the sport itself, but you know what you're good at? Imbibing liquid quicker than any other person on the field.
You suck down soda like nobody I've ever seen.
Son, you're going to go far.
That's a, well, he's found a way to make it pay.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
And another skill I do not have.
I've made all the wrong choices with my life.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, and Pete Schwabe. All coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.